KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's clear and 46 degrees here in Atlantic. We look for sunny skies today. It'll be a bit windy as well with a high of 68. Good morning. I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News. Our news is brought to you this hour by Robinson True Value Hardware, serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. Iowa businesses located along the Missouri River are struggling to recover from this summer's flood. A survey from the Safeguard Iowa Partnership shows respondents noted impacts to their workforce, supplies, customers, transportation, and in some cases were forced to relocate. SIP Executive Director Jamie Haberl says that 140 business owners completed the survey.
Over 70% of them were small businesses with less than 50 employees. So there are very small, medium-sized businesses that we would expect to find in the state of Iowa.
The survey results were included in Governor Branstad's recent appeal to the Federal Emergency Management Agency to provide financial assistance to Iowans. The businesses were not asked to provide a dollar figure in their damages, but most reported they spent a lot of money to prevent or mitigate flood damage. Haberl said over 70% of respondents did not have flood insurance and 80% did not have business interruption insurance.
You know, I think just understanding that flood insurance is different than just having business insurance, and that's for homeowners as well as businesses. So making sure that in looking at your business continuity plan that you work with your insurance agent to understand what coverage you actually have, and that if you are in an area that you would benefit from having flood insurance, that you make sure that you discuss that with your insurance agent.
Many of the businesses were not flooded, but lost business because residents were forced to leave the area. Branstad's request to FEMA for individual disaster assistance noted that the Missouri River flooding destroyed 189 homes in Iowa, while 161 sustained major damage. News time is 8:02.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
Elsewhere in Southwest Iowa news, two people were being held in the Adams County Jail in Corning following their arrests Tuesday night on unrelated charges. Sheriff's officials said yesterday 34-year-old Michael Welling of Corning was taken into custody at around 11:15 p.m. Tuesday on charges of domestic abuse, third offense, and disorderly conduct. His arrest followed an investigation into a noise complaint at a residence in Corning. When deputies arrived on the scene, they heard a fight allegedly taking place inside the home at 909 7th Street, apartment number 3. Shortly thereafter, Welling was arrested and brought to the Adams County Jail. And 25-year-old Elizabeth Ann Holt of Des Moines was arrested at around 10:45 p.m. Tuesday in Woodbury County. Holt was wanted on a warrant for conspiracy to commit felony forgery and identity theft. She was transported from Woodbury County to Adams County, where she was being held on a $25,000 cash-only bond. The Iowa State Patrol says that two people were injured during a collision involving two semis on Interstate 80 westbound early Wednesday morning, about a mile west of Adair. The accident was reported at around 5:45 a.m. Officials say a westbound semi went off the road near exit 75, entered the south ditch, and came back onto the roadway before rolling onto its side and blocking both westbound lanes of traffic. A second semi approaching the scene crested a hill and collided with the overturned semi. Both drivers suffered minor injuries. Their names have not been released. The accident resulted in the interstate being closed for a little more than 3 hours and traffic routed through Anita while the wreck was being cleared and investigated. Wilson Trailer Company is laying off 68 workers at its plants in Sioux City and in Moberly, Missouri, citing a slowdown in the national economy and bad weather in crop-producing states. The Sioux City-based company produces livestock, grain, flatbed, and gooseneck trailers. Demand this year fell in the wake of a multitude of bad weather, from flooding along the Missouri River to drought in some Midwestern and Southern states. Human Resources Director John Kraber said the company hoped to avoid the layoffs, but the reductions became necessary. Employees were told of the decision at a meeting in late September. The layoffs are effective October 31st. The mayor of Omaha, Nebraska, says Missouri River flooding that decimated Interstate 680 in western Iowa demonstrates the need to have that stretch of road elevated to avoid future devastation caused by floodwaters. Jim Suttle, addressing the Iowa Transportation Commission Tuesday in Council Bluffs, also asked officials to consider doing the same thing for parts of flood-affected I-29. Suttle said that western Iowa relies on Epley Airfield in Omaha, just as Omaha relies on the interstate system in Iowa. According to the Omaha World Herald, Suttle said, let's figure out how we can work together so we can deal with the flooding situations in the future, but also assuring that our transportation system stays in place if we do have another catastrophic event like the flood of 2011. His remarks were part of a public comment portion of the meeting. No action was taken on the request, and the commission members did not respond during the meeting. A 3.1-mile stretch of Interstate 680 between Omaha and Crescent, Iowa, was massively damaged during the summer's Missouri River floods and remains closed. The interstate runs perpendicular to the flow of the Missouri. The floodwaters undermined the roadway, causing it to collapse. Suttle, who's a civil engineer by training, suggested raising parts of the interstate to 1 foot above the so-called 100-year flood level. But DOT Commissioner Barry Cleveland of Council Bluffs, who works in Omaha, expressed skepticism. Cleveland said it would be cost prohibitive, in fact, to the tune of about several billion dollars at least. He also didn't know how high I-680 would have to be raised in order to meet Suttle's request. Omaha television station KETV reported on Tuesday that 100 construction workers were on the job 24/7 to repair I-680, and they were just days away from pouring the cement. The $20 million effort has those crews working 16 to 24-hour shifts. They've already removed hundreds of thousands of tons of damaged interstate. Peterson Contractors and Riley Construction started work a week and a half ago, and almost all the torn-up freeway has been recycled into the new construction effort. In fact, work has progressed so well, the westbound lanes of I-680 were nearly ready for paving. Construction officials say they hope to have traffic flowing again by December 23rd. Hundreds of University of Nebraska at Omaha students will use their fall break later this month to help clean up the flood-damaged Salvation Army Camp, Epley, in Bellevue, Nebraska. The students will also renovate and repair other community facilities and low-income housing as part of UNO's annual 3 Days of Service project. The UNO students will combine those efforts with high school students from Omaha and in Council Bluffs. The students will begin the work this Saturday and continue through Tuesday on numerous renovation and beautification projects. Camp Epley suffered extensive damage from the Missouri River flooding this summer. After a full summer of flooding, Interstate 29 reopened last weekend in southwest Iowa, yet repair work is underway still on many other miles of highways and roads. The Missouri River flood caused tens of millions of dollars of damage to thoroughfares in the region. Melissa Black with the Missouri DOT says there's a giant hole worn in Route 136 in northwest Missouri, just south of Hamburg, Iowa.
Originally, we thought it was about 600 feet long, but now, since the water's gone down a little bit, we've been able to measure it a little bit more accurately, but it is 480 feet long, which is still quite sizable, and about 65 feet deep. And, you know, as you can imagine, that's a pretty darn big gap in the pavement.
Well, it's not exactly the Grand Canyon. She admits it's going to take a lot of work to fill in the huge hole, which has been dubbed the Beast by construction crews. Three other large gaps in the highway that were carved out by months of rushing floodwaters have already been repaired.
This one, being the largest, will take more than 100,000 tons of rock just to fill that back up to the regular pavement level, which is about what it took to fill the other three gaps. So you can see it's pretty big.
The contract to tackle and fill the Beast is worth nearly $3.5 million, and she said it should take another several weeks to complete.
These other emergency repair projects have been going pretty smoothly. The weather's been cooperating, and the contractors have been getting done quicker than we were anticipating. So we're hopeful that this one will go the same way.
The target date for completion of work on that gap is November 28th. Many roads that were impacted by the flooding closed in June. Taking a look at national news this hour here on KJAN, the number of people applying for unemployment benefits was mostly unchanged last week. A slight dip in applications suggests the job market isn't getting much better. The Labor Department says applications ticked down 1,000 to a seasonally adjusted 404,000. The four-week average, a less volatile measure, declined for the third straight week to 408,000. That's the lowest average in 8 weeks. Still, applications are higher than they would be in a healthy economy. They need to fall consistently below 375,000 to signal sustainable job growth. The trade deficit edged down slightly in August, although the imbalance for the year is running well above last year's pace. The trade gap with China hit an all-time high. The Commerce Department says the deficit dipped to $45.6 billion in August, the lowest gap in 4 months. For the year, the deficit is running at an annual rate of $564.3 billion. That's 13% higher than last year. A higher deficit acts as a drag on economic growth because it means fewer jobs for American workers. And Senator John McCain is calling Iran a threat to the Persian Gulf, saying an assassination plot allegedly hatched in Tehran dramatizes how closely the government must be watched. Addressing the purported plan to assassinate the Saudi ambassador to the United States, McCain said he was surprised at how ridiculously inept it was. The Arizona Republican faults President Obama for failing to publicly embrace Iranian street protests in Tehran in 2009. McCain calls it an opportunity that we lost. News time is 8:10.
Shop Robinson's True Value Hardware, your oldest downtown hardware store in Atlantic. They've been providing the same dependable quality service and quality merchandise for over 70 years at the same location. So come down to Robinson's True Value for all of your hardware needs. They've got paint for any surface and hardware for any purpose. And for all of your shipping and packaging needs, they ship via UPS. That's Robinson True Value Hardware Store at 325 Chestnut in downtown Atlantic. Or give them a call at 243-4667.
And in our funeral announcements this morning, Bernard V. Pardee, age 99 of Hamlin, died Sunday at the Audubon County Memorial Hospital. Funeral services for Bernard Pardee are today at 10:30 at St. Patrick's Catholic Church in Audubon, with the Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon in charge of arrangements. Maxine Hayes, age 92 of Exira, died Saturday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Maxine Hayes are this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Kessler Funeral Home in Exira. Barb Ellen Colvin, age 67 of Oakland, died Sunday at her home. Cremation has taken place. A memorial service for Barb Colvin will be held this evening at 6 o'clock at the Reek and Veith Funeral Home in Oakland. Frances Jarnigan, age 72 of Panora, died Sunday at her home. Memorial services for Frances Jarnigan will be on Saturday at 11 o'clock at the Twig Funeral Home in Panora. Virginia Rasmussen, age 86 of Elkhorn, died Monday at the Salem Lutheran Nursing Home. Funeral services for Virginia Rasmussen will be Saturday at 11 a.m. at the Elkhorn Lutheran Church. Paulie Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Mardell Hancock, age 83, of Waverly and formerly of Indianola, died Saturday at her home in Waverly. A graveside service for Mardell Hancock will be on Monday at 5 p.m. at the Memorial Garden Cemetery in Atlantic. And Richard Eugene Williamson, age 42, of Loveland, Colorado and formerly of Anita, died Saturday in Loveland. Graveside services for Richard Williamson will be held Tuesday at 11 a.m. in the Evergreen Cemetery at Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Anita has the arrangements. Our news was brought to you by Robinson True Value Hardware. They've been serving Southwest Iowa with the best hardware for over 70 years. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.